Milton's Ghost. I'm in the pub tap room where Milton did his ironing in the quiet hours, but mostly Mrs. Buckley's, and hung it on a maiden by the fire that he had lit and polished the brasses. Milton Appleyard is who I mean, a tough and self-contained ex-farmer, fallen on bad, or was it good, times. He hand-washed and ironed the unders of his dumpy odalisk and served her in her hidden place, their teeth in malbleached by the bed. Fancy that. Then fetched beer in a jug, where Buckley dared not enter, and Mrs. didn't, among starched underwear and blouses. He swept it, scrubbed it, ruled it, choosing never to leave his bed and board, except to bring warm eggs in from the grass, or hang out washing above the roaming hens. I catch it, fortunately, in its near silence and warmth of embers trapped from last night. An hour like those that made their honeymoon, that time when calls of poultry, curlews, larks, and Buckley's grumbles invaded their window. One pint of beer in the early evening, and I could almost live here again, just as I almost did in the past, like Milton, with my feet under the table, as welcome as any for my wit and my money. The moor outside and this taproom kitchen, the poor man's study, as one dialect poet wrote, is still the same. A stone floor and a flagged ceiling, and through the peephole window a damp green light, where crows tossed in the breaths of thermals over the wood are dancing, but are really just blown on threads of air. They have nests to steady them somewhere, and I, a pint of Lee's dark bitter in my hand, hold a dim thought of not being chucked out at 11, of not being chucked out ever. Milton's Ghost.